Into chapter 21, I want to try to get this in tonight too. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem and drop thy word toward the holy place. See, this connects this with the chapter previous. He said, drop your word in Jerusalem. So here he says it again. And now I look at this and I say, well, all right, if you say it plain, I'll get it even plainer. And you look at this chapter 21 and you can't get it any plainer than this. If they can't see this, they couldn't see anything. But they didn't see it. Their ears were still dull of hearing. And so he said, you prophesy against the land of Israel and say unto the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord. Now this is Israel, the whole 12 tribes. And by the way, I divided this chapter 21 into two divisions. Verses 1 through 7, I call the sword, and verses 8 through 17, three divisions, 1 through 7, the sword, 8 through 17, the sword is ready, 18 through 32, the sword is used, and chapter 21 is the answer to 2049. He's still talking to the elders. He said, behold, I'm against thee, and I will draw forth my sword out from among the sheath, and I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. And again we say that both will suffer together during the tribulation. Now God is going to miraculously protect some of the righteous, but a lot of the righteous will also die during the tribulation period too. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Wherefore shall my sword go forth out of the sheath against all flesh, from the south to the north. This is all flesh, Jew and Gentile alike, whatever there is. All nations shall come down into this land. Joel 3:2 says he's going to bring all nations into Jehoshaphat. In the last chapter, the 12th chapter of Daniel, we read of the armies of the south will come up. And so Jerusalem will be completely surrounded with the enemy. So all flesh will be there. And all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of the sheath, and it shall not return anymore, or anymore until the battle is over, is the thought. Until all judgment is ceased, it will be in readiness. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, and break forth thy loins. Now, verses 6 down there through 7 is Ezekiel is acting out what Judah should be doing, to sigh. Now, later on, we'll have a cry. This is a latter, deeper thing in verse 12. But he starts off with a sigh. And he went through all of Jerusalem, acting this out, sighing, you know. And verse 7 it says, and it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou, that thou shalt answer for the tidings. These are bad tidings, not good tidings. Now, notice he says, sigh in verse 6, with a breaking of thy loins. This word breaking has to do with great pain. A better rendering, I think, is this is a rupture of your loins. The loins is the strength of a people. So what God is going to do to them is break down all of their strength and bring them into nothingness. God has to do people that way today. He did Paul that way in order to use him. He cannot use strong people. He will not use strong people. If I think I'm strong in myself, God cannot use me, and neither can he Israel. And so he's going to bring them to a place of fate. He said these are bad tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt. Notice how he's going to bring them down, and all the hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall fade, and all the knees shall be weak. And he's going to bring them down to nothing, and it's going to come to pass. Then in verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto me. And this is now the readiness of the sword. And he's making the sword ready. The sword is sharpened and furbished. Now the word furbished comes from a word that means to be bright or highly polished. Sharpen has to do with ready for use. But it's been in the saber for a long time, and it's been kept polished or ready for use. Now there was a lot of reasons for a polished brightness of this. One is that it could be seen at a distance, a bright sword. They should have known that the coming of the Lord was at hand. It is sharpened to make sore slaughter. This is a reason that it's slaughtered. It's sharpened here, you see. Verse 10 is a reason. And it's polished bright so that it may glitter. Should we then make myrrh? Should we dance and have a good time and drunk? Condemneth the rod of my son as every tree. Jesus says, as Noah was in the belly of the whale. How's that go? He hath given it to be furbished in order that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and it is furbished to give it to the hand of the slayer. Now verse 19 tells us who the slayer is. It's the king of Babylon. And then they're told to cry and howl. But it's Ezekiel that's told to do this. And he went through the city. You just imagine this, going around lamenting and sighing and crying and howling, see? For it shall be upon my people. They're the ones that should be the howling, because it shall be that the princes of Israel in terrors by reason of the sword. You might study this in Joel chapter 2, of the terribleness that this will be when God judges them. Because it is trial. The word trial comes from a word that means to test metal. He's going to test them. What if the sword condemn even the rod? Now here this word condemn means to hate or despise. And it did. All the scepter would be destroyed when God's sword comes. And it shall be no more, saith the Lord. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy, and smite thine hands together. This was for notice sake. You might study Lamentations 2:15 along this verse. I think we can see in this verse God's feelings again. Let the sword be doubled the third time. It's doubled, doubled, and doubled again. How terrible this will be. How many times has God brought his sword upon the nation Israel? Well, this will be the last time, the third time. The sword of the slain. It is the sword of the great men that are slain, which entereth into the privity chamber, right into everyone's home, where no one will have any privacy whatsoever. I have set the point of the sword against the gates. Now this is the climax of it, against the gate. And their heart may faint, and their ruin may multiply. Aha is better, I think, rendering. It is made bright, it is wrapped up for the slaughter. Go thy way. Go thee one way. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Go thee one way or the other, either on the right or on the left, wheresoever thy face is. And it doesn't make any difference which way you go at this time, because the judgment's going to be there. I also will smite my hands together, just like I told Ezekiel to, and will cause my fury to rest, and the Lord had said it. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, also, son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Thy both twine shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place choose it at the head of the way of the city. Now, they came in two different ways, as we mentioned before. Here's the way that this was appointed. The one way would be to Rabbath of the Amorites. Now, this would be on the east side, you see, of Babylon, east side of the River Jordan. The Amorites is of Lot, if you'll remember, east of Jordan. These are the same as what we know as Jordan, the land of Jordan today. Anyway, this is one of the way. And the king of, and the other was to Judah in Jerusalem, the defense. And the king of Babylon stood at the parting way. Now this is the way he made the decision. At the head of the way, and to use divination to make his arrow bright, he consulted with images, he looked in the liver. Now, the thought here in this arrows, he shook the arrows to and fro. Two arrows were put into a bag and shaken. The one would be drawn out, and this would how they would make the decision. One mark was marked Jerusalem, the other was marked Rabbath. And so they would know. We have other things here too. I wish I had time to go in depths of this. But he consulted with images and looked into a lever or into a vat in which he would get an image from. In his right hand was divination. The word "at" actually should be translated "in." For Jerusalem to appoint captains to come down against them and cast this fort against them. And it shall be unto them as a false divination unto them that has sworn by oath. Therefore saith the Lord God, because ye have made your inquiry to be remembered, that your transgression are discovered, and that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. Now this is Zedekiah's time by history, but it's also to be fulfilled at a later time. And thou profane wicked prince. Now this wicked prince here is no doubt the Antichrist, in which Zedekiah was a type of. You see, Zedekiah was a usurper of the place of the king, and so will the Antichrist be. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and the crown. Now these are two different words. A diadem is the same as we had for a mitre on the head of a priest, or a turban, and then the crown was a kingly crown. This shall not be the same like it was. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. And God is going to do this, and he's going to have his king on the holy hill of Zion. And I will overturn it. Three times he mentioned this. I'm going to overturn all these kings, and it shall be no more until he that whose right it is will come. And then the latter part of this, we have judgment upon the Amorites, which we know today as the same as Jordan. And thou son of man, prophesy and say unto them concerning the Amorites, concerning their reproach, even say, the sword is drawn for slaughter, and it is furbished and to consume because of the glitter. While they see vanity. Now they didn't think that this would come, but it's going to, just according to the word of God. They see vanity unto thee, while they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked in those days when their iniquity shall have an end. God's going to bring iniquity to an end. There were false prophets that said, oh, this won't be so. You don't have to worry about it. But God said it would, and it's going to come to pass, whether they think so or not. Shall it cause it to return to his sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou hast created, in the land of thy nativity. Now, this goes all the way back. Remember when we talked about that, who Israel's mother was and father?